I put my Christmas tree up today, so if you hear a crash, that's my cats discovering it. Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of Humans Are Worse. So here's an origin story. When it was just me and Norman, he would get very, very aggressive. Like, he's such a cuddly baby, like, 90% of the time. But he just had this habit of attacking me anytime I walked by, if he was in a playful mood. Or I'd be sitting up in bed, and he would actually charge at me, snarling, and start biting me all over. Believe me, I had scratches and bite marks over my entire body. It was not fun. And I knew that the only way I was really going to be able to sort this out was to get him a little friend. That's when Clarice came along. But now that he doesn't do that anymore, I find myself actually starting the fights. I try and wrestle with him on basically a daily basis, and he just doesn't seem to want to be involved at all. I'm constantly telling him I'm going to fight him, and then when I do, he still wins. When he bites, it's just a nibble, it's just a scratch, like, these things heal. But yesterday he was in a bit of a scatty mood, which I didn't realise at the time, but I decided to pick him up, and he flailed his arms around and scratched me across the forehead. So, now looking a bit like Harry Potter. But I do also have scratch marks from Clarice as well, because when she gets picked up, she normally decides that she doesn't want to be picked up, and therefore tries to push off my chest, and in the process uses her nails. She does tend to wrestle my feet as well, but her nibbles are so soft, they're nowhere near the ferocious bites that Norman does. When he was little and in one of those moods, I physically had to wrap him in a duvet cover to stop him from thrashing around. And it's really strange to look back on, because he acts nothing like that now. Well, he does get in those moods. But luckily, I'm not having to flee from him anymore. But his mood swings really do come out of nowhere. They were both asleep on my bed the other day, and I decided I needed to change the sheets. But of course, they didn't care. They weren't going to move. I started changing the sheets around them, and Clarice did move eventually, but Norman just stayed lying straight on top of the duvet cover. And when I tried to take it off, instead of moving, he decided to stay there, and then proceed to attack the duvet cover, wrapping himself up in a ball, and every time I got near him, his claws and teeth would come out. He does look really cute when he does this though, because his eyes go crazy wide and his pupils go really big. So it's a very nice photo opportunity, which I'm sure you'll see on Instagram. But geez, that boy can be vicious. But let's get on to why humans are worse. So it's the 10th of April, 1980. And we're in Marshfield, Massachusetts. That is a word I normally don't even try to say. Emergency services are called to a house fire, and when they extinguish the fire, they find 74-year-old Carmen Lopez curled in the fetal position in her bedroom. But as it turns out, she'd already been left for dead before the flames engulfed her. She had been shot multiple times and stabbed through the chest. And the postmortem found golden painted bullets inside of her. Norman, get off the keyboard. Come on. Sit on my knee then. No? Okay. In the property, the police found a silver metal box which contained similar bullets. And there was also some documents relating to James River, her 22-year-old grandson. This was obviously a bit suspicious. But what tipped the police off even more is that James turned up asking to take possession of the box. And when he was refused, he assaulted a police officer and was arrested. A neighbour told police that they had actually saw James enter the property 2 hours before the fire. And when he was in custody, he spoke to his mother and confessed. He told her, just brace yourselves. He told her that he was a 700-year-old vampire and needed to drink his grandmother's blood to survive. So James did have a history of mental illness. He'd been in and out of psychiatric care as a child, and he was diagnosed with schizophrenia at 16. When he was young, he would draw pictures depicting horrific violence, and he would also mix oil with ketchup and drink it because he said it looked like blood. I can't even confirm or deny this because I haven't tried it myself. Don't really want to. But obviously this concoction wasn't enough to sustain him. He started killing and drinking the blood of animals. He suffered from a lot of delusions, thinking that he'd had an illegal lobotomy and that he had a microchip implanted. One day he actually, I don't even want to say it, he killed and decapitated a cat. He removed its brain, saying that he was preparing to carry out the same procedure on himself. He'd moved into his grandma's house for a couple of months, but then he started saying that his grandmother was stealing his blood and poisoning his food, and he'd moved out 2 weeks prior to her death. So on the day where the events actually took place, James took his father's car and drove to his grandmother's house. On his way, he stopped to buy dry gas, knowing what he was about to do. When he got there, she asked him to help with the washing up, and that's when he went to the cellar to grab the gun and the golden painted bullets that were already there waiting. His grandma was actually wheelchair bound due to a spinal tumour, and there was really no way for her to defend herself once he came in the room. She threw glass at him, which isn't really gonna do much, especially to an old ass vampire. After he'd shot and stabbed her, he poured the dry gas on her body and set it alight. I have seen a few variations on this event, just that either she died before the fire or after the fire, and I'm having trouble fact checking it, so I don't want to give you the right one. I mean, the wrong one. I don't want to give you the wrong one. But one way that they would find if she died prior or during the fire would be to check her lungs to see if she had been inhaling at the time of the fire. But that's not the end. I really wish it was. But he did say that he was a vampire, so he began to suck blood from her wounds. And then later said that she was too old and dry. He set the fire in order to hide evidence. But let's remember that in a crematorium, a body is put into extreme temperatures for hours, and the teeth are still left over. So if you're trying to get rid of evidence of a murder, it's not really the right way to do it. And no, I'm not going to tell you the right way to do it. So after the murder, he went and picked up his father from work, and he stopped on the way to dispose of his gun. His father then got a phone call about the fire, and they both made their way to his grandmother's address. And this was when James was questioned and eventually arrested. So as well as confessing to his mother, James also told psychiatrists that his grandmother was a vampire and was stealing his blood while he slept. During his confessions, he also said that he met a 200-year-old vampire in Florida who told him to paint the bullets gold. He also stated that he'd been a vampire for more than 4 years, and he told his mother, quote, "The voice came out of the sun in the marsh and told me I had to be a vampire." So these are delusions. This guy's obviously not fit to stand trial. Initially, this was later reversed, and it only took the jury 3 hours to find him guilty of second-degree murder and arson, and he got life with the possibility of parole. This was because, although he was diagnosed as schizophrenic, an expert witness stated that he actually had borderline personality disorder and was therefore fully aware of what he was doing. If you also take into account the time frame, this wasn't just a snap decision. He'd thoroughly planned and thought it out before deciding to go through with it. Whatever his mental illness may be, James Riva blames this on the abuse he suffered as a child at the hands of his parents, but most prominently his mother. He stated that he started experimenting with alcohol and drugs at the age of 9. During his time in prison, he wrote a threatening letter to his mother, which he says was not meant to come across that way, and he wasn't meant to actually send her it. But it was posted to a blog on a website called Between the Bars, alongside a lot of fiction writing, paintings, and letters to pen pals. So obviously it was there for everyone to make their own judgments on. A few years into his sentence, he stopped taking his medication at the suggestion of his fellow inmates, because they're obviously very knowledgeable about those things. Because of this, he began to get paranoid, and he believed that a correctional officer was stealing his spinal fluid, and James stabbed him. As you could have guessed, his parole was first denied, but it was also denied a further 2 times, the last being in 2019, as they believed that he was still a danger to the public and had not been rehabilitated. James had told the Court of Appeal that due to stress, his paranoia would come back, and he said that this wasn't a big concern, but obviously to the appeals board, that's a bit of a worry, because in life outside prison, there's a lot of stress. I just caught Clarice drinking out of the tap. It has begun. James's 2 daughters, niece and granddaughter, all showed up for the parole hearing, and this was to oppose it. So it's back to square one, and he'll be available for parole again in 5 years, and at this point, he will be 67 years old. I really went down a rabbit hole with this Between the Bars website, and some of the things that he's written is very eerie. He does talk about how he was dubbed the schizophrenic vampire, and doesn't ever seem to apologise for his actions, but I saw one small letter that kind of freaked me out. So here it is. This is from January the 14th, 2019, and it reads, D. I like it when folks give me positive feedback on my writing. Writing fiction is way harder art to make than a wall ornament. Do you take meds? I do. I have to. Doesn't work out well for me or people around me when I don't. James. Well, my cats may scratch me, but at least they're not trying to drink my blood. Guess that's another reason why humans are worse. Want to prove me wrong? Let me know what kind of crimes your furry fiend is committing by sending an email. You can also send in your own crime fiction short stories or ideas for me to fact check on the show. Just email humansareworse@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram @humansareworsepodcast.